Hey everybody, welcome to Pizza Rainbow, episode 2, where real teens talk about real teen issues. Real teens being two women in their 30s, and real issues being about the power of night moves, waiting until marriage to do the hibbity-jibbity, accepting your huge bazonkas, and also, I don't know, a bunch of other stuff. Find us over at mathisheart.net, and follow us over on iTunes where you can subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Thanks everybody. Hugs. What's up, Jen Paulson?
I'm still Jen Paulson.
And you're still Jen Paulson.
Yeah, I just got home from work.
Yeah?
Yep.
And you had a sad time at Target?
No, not really sad. I just don't like... I'm not happy with the prices of washcloths.
That's okay. Do you want to talk about it more?
No, I think that I wish I wouldn't have talked about it in the first place.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Well, at least I wasn't properly recording it, so nobody will hear about it now.
It's really not a big deal.
It can be your own private pain with washcloths.
You guys want to give me some fancy, luxurious, really beautifully colored and patterned washcloths, send them to, send me a message.
Jen Paulson, P.O. Box 551 at yourtownusa.com. So what do you want to talk about this week? What's going on?
I don't know. I want to know what happened on the Real Housewives of New Jersey finale.
I haven't been watching it.
Okay.
Because the past 2 weeks I've been so busy with other stuff. But yeah, I want to know what happened.
But you managed to watch Red Band Society.
I did, because I freaking love that show. It's my favorite.
Okay.
It's beautiful. But that one I watched in two separate increments too.
Okay.
Like I came home, I watched like 20 minutes, went to bed. Next day I came home, watched 20 minutes, went to bed.
Oh.
Yeah, this working life has got me. Got me exhausted, Jen Paulson.
I'm already exhausted just by watching you do it. I don't think you should.
I don't think I should either.
No one should have to work.
I'm not meant for working.
I'm not, but I keep doing it. I don't know why.
I know. Well, I don't know. It's weird because like I feel like having the structure of like going to work and working and then coming home, it's either going to be really good for my writing or it's going to really suck. Because I feel like when I'm like doing PA, like we have a lot of downtime because a lot of what we do is like craft service and food prep. So when that stuff is done, like, or when I'm waiting for people to finish up, I have a ton of time to like work on my projects and stuff on my laptop, which like the past few days has been super, super productive. But then I come home and I'm tired and I just want to like veg out and I don't want to like write an emotionally exhausting memoir about death and dying. So, yeah. So that's tough.
I guess I thought being a production assistant would make you want to write about death and dying.
For some people, it might. No. Today, it might have. But we had kind of a little bit of a fun day today. Not really.
We'll talk about that off the record.
But yeah, that's more of a conversation for when I sit down with Barack Obama. talk about the direction I want this country to take.
Hey, sup, Barack Obama.
Can I call you Obama Barack? Great, thanks. Let's talk about taxes. So anyways, but yeah, what else have you been like digging and jiving and pop culture?
I watched a bunch of documentaries.
Yeah, that's right. You had quite the weekend with that stuff.
Yeah, quite the weekend of sitting on my couch.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the Venus and Serena documentary?
No, I didn't. And it's about the tennis players?
Yes.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Which shows how much I know about
Venus and Serena. It's really just really amazing because, like, I never knew, like, their dad was, like, their coach. And, like, they came up, like, in Compton playing tennis.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
And that he was basically just like, let's make, you know... Let me find something I can teach my children to do so they can make a bunch of money.
Right.
And be like a product. Like,
nice.
You know, and not really necessarily in that way, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Richard Williams is an interesting character.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Should he go and have coffee with Beyonce's father, do you think?
No,
because that sounds pretty similar to what like Beyonce's dad did too.
Yeah, I think it is probably pretty similar. The guy, just the way he talks, is amazing. I think he's so good. Like maybe he had a stroke or something, like at a young age. Just the way he talks, but he's a brilliant businessman,
right? Just not great with the speech.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's great. Like just the way he talks, you're just like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I like people like that.
It's interesting.
Although sometimes that can be dangerous because those people usually become cult leaders.
Yeah, I could see that possibly of happening.
Really?
Maybe.
So charismatic.
No, the thing is, he isn't charismatic. He's just kind of like a no-nonsense, like, dude.
Yeah.
He's just like, let me just think of all the ways to, I don't know. I'm not good at explaining things, apparently. It's a really good documentary. You should watch it.
Watch the documentary. Speaking of, like, cult leaders and charismatic, did I ever tell you about when I listened to the recording of the Jonestown Massacre?
Why did you do that to yourself?
I do this thing where, like, I will read about a thing, and then it leads me to another thing on Wikipedia, and then, like, I'll keep researching it. Like, I just fall down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Like, I let myself do it. Like, I'll stay up all night and, like, cover a bunch of different topics. So I think it was something about the Jonestown Massacre or whatever. And then, like, there was a link to an actual, like, recording of when the leader is, like, convincing everybody to literally drink the Kool-Aid that they had made. And, like, it is – and, like, you're listening to it and you can't even believe that, like, you're listening to it. Like, it's just, like, what the – like, how did this even come to be? And it is, like, it's an incredible study in human behavior because you have a couple people who are, like, dissenting. And are like, I don't think this is the right choice. Like, I don't think we should do this. And then, but there's so many other people who are, like, so bought in that would argue with that person. And then, that like, literally there was a woman who was just like, I don't think we should do this. I think we should wait. I don't think this is wise. Somebody, like, got up and, like, basically told her, like, you don't love him as much as we do and you're wrong or whatever. And then she, like, asked questions like, okay, that's all I wanted to hear. Okay, then I'm in. Then I'm fine. And, like, the creepiest part of it, besides, like, hearing children crying in the background and having him be like, hurry up and make them drink this or whatever, people please, is that, like, you're hearing music in the background when everybody's talking and then, like, there's, like, a cutaway space and then all you hear is music. And, like, literally it's worse than a horror movie because you're just, like, listening to this music and you're like, and everybody is dead. It is crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
The whole thing that you had, were able to listen, that's nuts.
I know. I feel it. Well, and I know it was part of the FBI, like, dossier on Jonestown. Like, it was a recording that they had somehow, like, submitted or whatever in the whole, like, aftermath of it. But, yeah, I mean, but it, I don't know. Stuff like that is so interesting because it's just, like, there's so many things that went into those people, like, building this colony in Jonestown. Like, it was racism. It was classism. It was this guy who was, like, incredibly charismatic and promised them, like, a utopia.
Yeah.
And then, like, became incredibly paranoid and was just like, everybody's coming with me, you know? And, like, you listen to it and you're like, you can't really decide if he's completely deluded and he does really feel like I will be protecting everybody if we all just do this.
Yeah.
Or if he is, or if it's a completely, like, self-serving thing of just, like, I don't know. It's tough because I'm not in any way, shape, or form, like, being sympathetic or taking his side. But it's interesting when you think about the human mind and you're like, maybe he really did think that, like, no, this is the best thing for my people. You know,
yeah. I don't know. He was a creepy dude.
Yeah. Super creep.
Like, I don't understand sometimes. Like, people can be super, super charismatic, but then you look back and you're like, dude, you're so creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Maybe it was the time, too. I mean, the time it happened, you know, it was like a different part in, you know, people's fashion sense and how they wore their hair and their glasses, but he was creepy.
Yeah. Well, and, like, there's been a couple after him, too. Like, what was the David Koresh one? Yeah, and, like, he was supposedly, like, this handsome guy who was also incredibly charismatic, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's think about some of the dudes we've dated. We've been like, oh, he is fantastic. He's so handsome. And it's all about how you carry yourself. And then you look back on it, you're like, fuck.
What a sociopath.
Gross. What? Huh? I do that?
Yep, there's a couple. Yeah. There's a couple where it's like they're so smooth. And they're so just like, not slimy. But they just, like, they know how to operate. They're smooth operators.
Yeah.
Smooth. But anyways, I don't know. It's tough. Because you want to believe.
Oh, yeah.
You want to believe. Like, you want to believe everything that they're selling you. And then at some point you have to be like, no, maybe I don't want to believe anymore.
Yeah. You're like, what's my gut telling me? My gut's saying gross.
Maybe no. Don't put my family on a bus and then set it on fire my God. In Texas.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. So that was a dark way to start off the podcast, but...
Hey, thanks for that. I'm not to sleep tonight.
But you watched another documentary, too?
I watched a couple. The first one I watched was about Gore Vidal, which I thought was riveting and kind of changed my life.
How do you feel like it changed your life?
I don't know. I'm not an intellectual, but I love seeing, you know, back in the day when you had your like intellectuals like having real conversations about real stuff,
right?
Like on network television and not on these like all day, all night cable news channels,
right? Yeah,
you know, like actual intellectuals, like smart people, not just like someone who looks pretty good and went to an okay school, but like looks pretty good and can major in communications, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Reading off a teleprompter.
Yeah. I feel like people, celebrities in general, like they're not expected to be intelligent anymore. And like we don't reward intelligence. Like we reward, and yeah, I mean, that's
beauty and money.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, yeah.
Well, that's good because I'm not smart, but I sure am pretty.
That's right. Top of the charts, Paulson. No, you're incredibly bright. But yeah, no, I think about that too, where when you look back on like the 50s and the 60s and, you know, even the 70s when it was like talk shows and stuff, there was expected to be like a discourse. It wasn't just tell me the funny thing that happened to you this weekend that's also going to set up this movie clip.
Yeah.
Like you were expected to be able to expound upon an idea or, you know, a belief system or, you know, whatever the political topic was of the day. So, yeah, I don't know. But do you think we'd watch a show like that if it was like that again?
Oh, absolutely not.
No. I mean, the Daily Show.
If they were as handsome as Gore Vidal was, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I think we watched The Daily Show for that very reason. But we also need, like, that balance of humor and kind of, like, star quality, too.
I think that's why I watch a lot of documentary films, too. Yeah. You know, because there's like an entertainment level to a certain degree, but you're learning about something you may not have known about.
I totally agree with you. That's why I love documentaries and podcasts, because like I'm entertained and I go towards, with podcasts, I go towards humor and comedy. And with documentaries, like I am like really interested in like worlds that I don't necessarily have like a daily relationship with. Like I love fashion documentaries. Mm-hmm. Like that's one of my favorite things ever.
I love those too.
Yeah. And like I don't know, I just think it's, people are so fascinating. Documentaries are like the smart version of my reality TV show love.
Sure, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
I know. I also watched First Position. Have you ever seen that?
I've heard of it.
It's about like young ballet dancers.
Oh yeah, I have that in my Netflix queue.
I had it in my Netflix queue for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm finally going to watch this. And
do
I was
it.
Very upset with myself that I'd waited so long.
Oh my gosh. I know. I'm probably
going to. It's riveting.
Okay. Well,
and
I'm going to
ballet dancers' feet are fucking gross.
Yes. They are.
Oh my God. But I mean, I also wonder if ballet dancers, like the joke among them, if like, because it's really hard to make it in ballet.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I guess as fall as fails, I can just do modern dance. I wonder if that's like a joke, a little inside joke they have.
Probably. They're like,
want to do that. No, I mean, I kind of do.
Maybe. Well, okay. Are we talking? Because there's two different types of modern dance. Like modern dance, like backup Beyonce, or are we talking modern dance, like interpretive, like voguing on stage to a new age classical piece?
I think both can be good.
Really?
I mean, I love, like, this current, like, entertainment value of, like, pop music and tours and things. Like,
yeah.
I love that dancing is incredible. But I also like just regular modern dance, and I don't go out to see it very often.
No.
But, I mean, it really depends on the music, I think, for me.
Yeah.
If the music is good. If the music is horrible, I'd rather die. I went and saw a Sound Poet once.
Yeah.
And it was awful.
Really?
I almost killed myself.
Okay, I'm familiar with that.
Sound poetry is basically like when they make, I think, just noises with their mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
It's hell on earth.
There was an SNL skit when Lena Dunham was on, and it was called This Is Rap. And it was like these beat singers really like, this is rap. this is rap. This is rap. And like then like they would like go into the like, indubitably the beat is in my mind. And like oh my God. It was like, this is my worst nightmare. Like this is like the theater people that I grew up with that made me just be like, I don't want anything to do with theater.
Yeah.
And like I love everything. I love everything that has to do with theater. Like I love acting, I like writing, I like doing all like costumes, all that other stuff. But like that's what I think about when I think of modern dance. Like I think of like weirdo, weird out, like poetry slam, I don't know, interpretive dance that I would just like start laughing at.
Well, that's like, I think improv is really fun, but like the improv exercises make me really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, oh, here's a ball, throw a ball, say a weird word, whatever comes out. I'm like, oh, I'm too Lutheran, leave me alone.
See, and that's why I wouldn't do improv classes either. Like, I don't like being put, I don't know, like, I love comedy and I like acting. Like, I used to do a lot of it, but like improv itself, every once in a while, I'm like, well, maybe I should like get involved and like go see what it's all about. Cause I know like my little brother and Sonia and a bunch of other people love it. But yeah, I don't like being put on the spot. And like, I used to hate those mixers. We had theater class in high school. And like those mixers where it's like, turn to your neighbor and tell them what kind of tree you are and why you want to be that tree. And it's like, what the shit? Like, I just want to like read a line and act in and play. And yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't want to be a tree.
No. Or blue ball.
Trees can't watch TV. Suppose if you brought a TV outside or if you were an indoor tree.
Trees are supposed to have feelings, though.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah. Trees have memory, apparently. I don't know. Trees are weird.
But just walk up to a tree and be like, what do you remember? What has happened in this house? Please tell me. If you don't tell me, I'm going to go ask that other tree.
Funny.
Someone's going to talk.
No, like, I hear that all the time in, like, spiritual stuff where in natives, like, I used to take classes at this community college that was on a reservation, and, like, there was this really amazing, like, wise elder that would come and speak to us every once in a while. And he would just, like, say these offhand things where, I'll never forget, like, one time he was just, like, in the trees. They loved gossip. And, like, just kind of, like, went on. But it was so just this, like, little nugget where you're, like, it's such an interesting thought. And then, like, recently in spirituality and stuff, like, there's just been a couple of things that have come across my doorstep of, like, trees have memory and they have feelings. And, like, when the whole origination of hugging a tree is because trees are supposed to be able to feel. So, like, go say hi to the tree and hug it and, like, I don't
know. What if I go hug like, my
you'll
trees?
You'll feel the energy or something. I don't know.
I'm
going to
try it now. I might do it in the middle of the night so no one sees me.
Just like stroke the bark and be like, hello, friend.
Will the trees start singing night moves? Night moves!
I remember.
God, I love that song. I feel like I didn't have a night moves moment this summer.
Man, that song is so epic.
It's so good.
I remember when it had like a resurgence my senior year. And it was like perfect because all I wanted to do was make out my senior year. So,
well, yeah, that's usually every senior year, yeah. Right?
But I know. Like, and there was a couple lines in the beginning of like Dark Beauty with points way up high. And I was like, they're talking about my boobs.
That's so amazing. Whip them and high. Oh, that song.
Whip them and high.
One of my favorite times. Yeah. One of my favorite times I ever heard that song. I had my like a moment, like a night moves moment. This is really good. You're just going to blow your mind.
I'm waiting for my mind to be blown.
So it was like a summer night and I was sitting in my car. My RAV4. No, it was a Lumina. It was like a 1996 Chevy Lumina sitting in my car. And it came on and I was in the McDonald's drive-thru. But it really was kind of like a weirdly profound moment for me because I'm such a lazy person and we got to take it where we can get it, you know?
I love those moments.
I do too.
I like it when it comes on the jukebox at a bar.
Oh, yeah.
That's like my favorite.
I want to find out who played it.
I know. Katie and I used to go to the Chief all the time and we would purposely play that song. And I think it came out of some guy who was kind of a creeper, but kind of funny, kept like trying to hit on Katie. And I can't remember if we played it or he played it. I know Katie loved that song, but I don't know if she loved it after that. I don't know. Whatever.
He ruined it.
I ruined it. But he was standing next to her And he's like, you got to wait for the climax. You got to wait for the climax. And like, was like, had previously tried to show her like positions that he really.
No. I can just see her trying to handle that situation as she does with like tolerance.
Yes, where she's just like.
Oh, she's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like she'll smile and then she'll look at you with wide eyes. She'll be like, yeah. But like at one point, like he was like lifting her leg up and just like trying to show her during the song of like what he would do if they were making out during the song or whatever. And then he's like, wait for the climax. And so every time afterwards, and I think the song became a joke then because I always loved it. Yes. No, that's why. Way to go, everybody. We're rounding it back. So I played the song because I've always loved it and it's always a bar song. But then after that moment, it became a thing with Katie and I. We're like, we would always play it when we were at the bar together. And then we'd always be like, wait for that climax. Oh, you know, God. Where it like builds up and it's like, night moves.
And they say like night moves like 100 times.
Yeah. I like it when he goes into his like moaning at the end of the song.
I'm a huge fan of working and practicing.
Yeah. Yep. I like that too. Remember. I like when he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, remember the night moves.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And now everybody knows why I don't do karaoke.
I think we sound good.
I think we sound great. Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty fun. Mm-hmm. Night moves moment this summer.
Night moves. I think we just had our night moves moment.
I think we did too.
Thank you, during the fall autumn. Sign. Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. Because isn't it supposed to be like with autumn closing in?
Autumn closing in. I wish I had a guitar right now.
That would be great. I love when people break out their guitars.
We should have a party like on Saturday because it's going to be like 70 degrees and we'll have someone bring a guitar. We'll have a fire. Oh, fuck you.
I know. I don't want to go. Oh. I have to go bring a car back. So
just don't. You know what, though?
What?
Just don't do it.
I got it.
I know.
I got
your stuff. Parents would be real mad.
My parents would be super pissed. No, it'll be fun though. Like I think Katie's gonna come up with me because
fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm renting a car, and then so she's gonna drive the rental. I'm driving my parents' car.
Got it.
And then I think we'll probably hang out at the Moccasin.
I hate you. Can you just take me with you?
Yeah. You want to come with? You can.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'll bring adult diapers.
Yeah.
And I'll wear them this time. Just don't bring a band of people around, like a band of hot dudes.
I won't let you drink enough.
That's New Blair's country, girl. With autumn closing in. Dun, 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 dun. Night moves.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that'd be fun. I have to figure out where we're staying, because if we're staying at my parents', it's going to be kind of a drag. It's a little bit of a hike.
Let's stay somewhere cool.
Yeah, I might ask Lacey, or I don't know if Jennifer's going to be home. I think she's not. I think she's going to be at homecoming, but... Yeah, we'll
stay at a B&B.
At a B&B? Of course we'd stay at a B&B.
Let's camp.
I feel like B&B is like the lamest. I don't know. Like, I would like to meet people who are like, bed and breakfasts are amazing. I love staying at them all the time. Like, I just feel like it's awkward.
Yeah.
Because then you have to like come down and have breakfast with everybody, don't you? Like, that's weird. Like, I know a couple that stayed in a B&B the night that they got married. And like, they were a couple that were waiting for marriage to have sex. And like, you're literally having sex in somebody's house. And then tomorrow, you have to go downstairs and have breakfast with them and be like, guess what we did last night?
We're not virgins anymore, guys.
That's the B card in that beautiful suite. Thanks.
And we're married now.
Now we're going to have sex. Almost never.
Yeah. Like, we did the entire time. And then we got married. And then we did it. And now I'm like, shit.
This sucks.
He was not good. No. I was not good. Oh, wait. We haven't had sex with anyone.
You know it's not good.
Let's take a class. Who knows? Maybe they're just like into it. Just,
maybe.
You know, maybe
the love part of it makes it totally different, Paulson. Maybe God adds a little spectrum, extra special magic to it.
I think so, to be perfectly honest with you. We kind of, I don't want to say you don't degrade it by being like, oh, God, what'd you wait? But I kind of respect people that wait.
Oh, I totally do. Yeah, I mean, I waited until I was 21 because I thought I was going to wait until marriage. And, like, I think some people are very honorable with waiting, and I think it's an awesome choice for them. But Yeah. If I would have waited until I got married, I would have been fucked. Like, not literally, but, like, metaphorically. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You would have probably married someone you didn't super, super.
See, and that's like. What my issue is with a lot of people who do actually wait until marriage. Like, I have this friend, Jason Patoka, everybody, on Twitter, if you want to follow him. But he and I went to Bible camp together, and we were counselors together. And then we kind of, like, both left that world. And now sometimes we look back on it the way that, like, you would look back on something with, like, a cult survivor, a fellow cult survivor. And not that our camp was a cult, but there were a lot of different things about it that were kind of, like tried to make you, like, turn away from the way that things really were in the world so that you would, like, stay within this community or whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like waiting until marriage to have sex was such, like, a huge deal that, like, nobody was really prepared for the reality of, like, hey, maybe you are incredibly horny and you've known this person for 3 months and you think that you're going to be happy together forever. And now you're going to get into this institution where nobody in your community will support you if you decide that this might not be for you.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just, like, a world of, like, bad decisions based on, like, I really want to have sex.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. We'll see what this is all about. But God won't let me.
No.
He doesn't send me my perfect person yet. I'm ready.
Oh, my God.
Wait, that's, and that how, was the that's worst. How I feel right now.
Yeah. Well, it, like, it used to be a whole bunch of conversations about, like, you know, when I meet my wife, or, you know, when I meet my husband. And it's like, where is this person? Like, are they waiting behind a tree for you to, like, pass by and then they're going to pop down and, like, here it happens?
Amber, you're just supposed to trust God that it will provide.
Again, if I would have waited, I would have been.
I don't know. I just don't think you trusted God enough.
Probably not. No.
It's okay. No one does.
I trust in the universe.
Yeah.
But not in the idea of, like.
Well, the organized religion version of God.
No, I don't.
It's all about persecution and power and money.
Yeah. Or it's whatever. I don't. Yeah. This is a conversation that I feel weird.
I don't like it because it's not about housewives. And
exactly.
I'm sorry. We got. Yeah. How do we get real? Sorry. Really, I'm sorry. So I'm really sorry that I said that you didn't trust God enough.
No, it's like I am going to do the cliche thing where, like, I'm a very spiritual person. I am not a religious person.
That's fine.
Like, I don't not believe in God, and I don't not believe in, like, some of the tenets of Christianity, but I have a more, like, broad belief system than I used to.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
That's what happens when you grow up and become more awesome.
Yeah.
And start thinking for yourself.
Yes. And then you lose all of your Bible camp friends and you're like, okay, cool.
So, well, none of them would have fucked you anyway.
That's true. None of them would have fucked me either.
I'm sorry. Like,
it was somebody else where I was talking to them about, like, so Friday night, I had an amazing time with some of my best friends in the world and, like, was so excited about being back and, like, was just like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to do. And then Saturday, I was talking about this with my friend Larkin. And then Saturday, I went to this party with Tony, my friend. And it was super fun and super great. But it was one of those moments where, like, you're standing in a party with a bunch of guys there. And, like, there's some conversations happening, but, like, no deals are being closed. And I remember just kind of standing there and being like, you know what? I just all of a sudden remembered that Midwestern guys don't usually like me. I don't usually like them. And there's a certain type of guy that, like, usually goes for me. And they're usually not very, like, plentiful in the Twin Cities. And it's the same thing as, like, Bible camp guys and Bible college guys, too. Like, I'm just too much for them. And, like, I feel like I just – it was interesting that it – yeah, Saturday reminded me of the fact that, like, a lot of those guys from Bible camp and Bible college, like, that type, are now here in the Twin Cities, like, the Scandinavian, like, Midwestern.
Yeah, they just can't deal.
Stuff. No. No, they want, like, I think they prefer, like, a more quiet, demure, blonder.
I also version. Don't think a lot, I mean, a lot of guys know what they want anymore.
No. I think, yeah.
Or I date guys that don't know what they want.
Right.
They're like, hey, well, this girl has no idea what she wants to do. I am in. Let's do this.
I do think that attracts,
yeah,
like-minded. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. Okay, keep talking. I'm going to turn on a light.
Okay.
Keep talking about what guys.
So I've got a bunch of feelings about dating and stuff, and I would like to have a boyfriend. This is kind of like a personal ad, but not really, because fuck you anyway. Right now, I don't even think it's a good time for me to even think about it. I think right now it's time for me to just see what I like.
What would be a deal breaker? Like, let's let's go the other way. Like,
no car. I don't know.
Really?
It bugs me when a dude doesn't have a car.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just, it's like, kind of, it's like old fashioned. It's not, don't think it's judgmental.
Right. Well, and we talked about that the other time too. Of, yeah, like it's
a freedom thing.
Yeah.
Plus, cars are awesome.
They are awesome.
I love driving.
I'm excited to get one soon.
I'm excited for you.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't know. Like, what's another deal breaker? What are some other things that you are like, no. Like, kids, divorced, all that.
I can handle kids. I can handle divorced. I'm divorced.
Yeah.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah. It's easy to forget about because we hang out all the time. We're friends.
Yeah.
But, like... I feel bad for him too, because if we're out and about and I know people that don't know him, you know, they've known us apart from each other, I'm just like, we used to be married, like point at him like I'm five or something. Obviously I'm not five. It means I would have been negative years old when we got married, but I don't know. I just date emotionally unavailable guys.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily like a me thing. I don't think I'm emotionally unavailable, but I've had a lot of that in my past.
Yeah.
Emotionally unavailable people, so that's comfortable to me.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think you just hit it on the head there.
Yeah.
I think, like, yeah. I've noticed that in my dating life, I have to go through a series of guys that are similar to each other until I finally, like, learn a lesson.
Yeah.
And then even after I learn that lesson, like, I'm going to get another one that I have to, like, then practice that lesson to fluency.
Yeah, you're either, really, like, fucking annoying. No.
Yeah.
Or you're like, I have a problem with this, then can
but you're real cute, so let's just like try this out.
Well, yeah, can we work with this? Are you malleable in your, you know, working through situations together?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think my thing right now is I just need to figure out what I'm into.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what I'm into, but some days if you ask me, I'd be like,
Like, do you mean like guy wise or do you just mean like life overall?
No, life overall, like, yeah, my interests and the, yeah, things that are important to me right now. And
yeah. Well, comedy would be one.
Yeah, no. Yes.
And writing. We talked about writing before.
I definitely just need to write more. I think I need to do the artist way again.
Yeah.
But
I
not.
I feel like you're a lot happier when you do that.
Well, yeah, and the thing with Artist Way is when I was doing it the first time, it was all just like, feelings, these are my feelings, and I'm having these feelings, and I'm feelings for 3 pages, you know?
I hate the 3-page thing. It's my least favorite thing.
Yeah, but if I actually go in with like, oh, this is a random idea with this theme or whatever, or this, yeah, is a character, or this is an idea for something, or this is what I want to do,
yeah,
with my life or whatever, yeah, that would be more, you know,
constructive,
tapping towards into the universe.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah.
What is that exercise called again? The like 3-page, like
your morning pages.
Morning pages. Yeah.
It's like the first thing you do every day. It's pretty fucking brilliant.
God.
But it's hard as fuck.
It's hard as fuck. And I don't like it. And it's that thing where like I had to keep telling myself, I'm like, you don't like it the way that you don't like meditation on some days. And when you don't like it, it means that you need to do it more often, or it's more important for you to do it this day than it is on any other day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I'm resisting it, it's, yeah, there's something that's trying to block me from other stuff. And, like, I just don't want to face it or name it or,
yeah,
write about it or feel it.
I feel like that for me for a long time, and I just need to get past it, where sometimes I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit down to write. And then I sit down and I get all set up and I'm like, ugh, God, no, I don't want to. No. Like, I just kind of like,
yeah,
like hardcore just get, like, a feeling of anxiety.
Yes,
and that's exactly. Like, hey, maybe you could just write even a sentence about, like, how your cat is precious and adorable and how your mom is pretty all right now, or, you know, just whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I do feel like once you, like, I know for myself, and I had to learn this past summer and fall, but even if I just write, like, a couple of sentences, and I feel like they're good sentences and like I'm actually doing it, like I just feel so much better. Like, it's literally a mental an emotional health thing for me that like I have to write every day in order to like really feel good. Otherwise I just feel like unfulfilled and I'm trying to like fill that hole with other stuff.
Well, yeah, I think that's the kind of a hard part of being like a creative person. It's like you don't have to. I mean, people like don't do day jobs. They're broke or whatever, you know, or they're able to do whatever is their creative pursuit for like a living. But it takes a while.
Right.
So like I feel like it's the hardest when you have to kind of work a job that you're not totally in love with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to kind of set that part of you aside, like go to work. I'm always like, I'm just going to go to work as an alter ego.
Oh,
like
yeah,
Jan Olsen.
Hello.
Jan Olsen's at work. I'm going to use Jan Olsen's energy, not Jen Paulson's energy.
Right.
Why am I speaking about myself in the third person? Whatever.
There's
got to be some way to cope, you know, while still making a living.
To compartmentalize.
Yeah.
Yeah. There has to be because, I mean, people do it all the time. Especially ones that are like trying to make it. Like,
yeah.
You still have to do your day job, but you also have to like work on your craft.
Yeah, I'm a craft.
Yeah.
Not crafts. I'm not good at crafts.
Who is good at crafts? Some people. But Tori I don't Spelling. Talk about them. Tori Spelling is. Anyways.
But we're going to end on that note. Tori Spelling is dot, dot, dot.
You know what I was thinking about last night, though? So I went to that opening night of the 10,000 Laughs Comedy Festival. And I've come to realize that, like, when we talk about guys and when we talk about, like, deal breakers and, like, our kind of things and stuff, I have noticed that, like, I'm kind of afraid of, like, the funny guy. Like, I've dated the funny guy and, like, I immediately, like, go to the funny guy. But I feel like I've gotten burned so much by, like, that kind of personality because I feel like I was analyzing it. Some point, as I do with everything, but I feel like funny means, like you said, like there's an emotionally unavailable part to them, which is why we're funny. Like we usually use humor to mask something else, whether it's like self-deprecating or whatever. And I feel like my experiences with funny guys has been entertaining and fun and like ha ha ha. But then when we get to like the point where like stuff gets hard. Like, they shut down.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And, like, I there's a guy last night who's, like, super cute, super funny. And, like, he kind of did his act, and I was like, whoa. Like, yeah. I could maybe order this up for takeout. But, but then, yeah, like, the more I thought about it, the more I'm just like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, it's good to have a natural caution.
Yes.
About it instead of just being like, oh my god, super funny.
Yeah. Great, I'm in. Great. Let's go out.
Yeah.
Make babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially I would like when to do people him, like but... look really good and you're like, oh, the babies look so good.
Just trying to make babies would be so good.
Yeah. I'm still not ready, but I'm ready.
I'm not ready to make babies. I'm ready. Well, I'm ready to engage in the act that comes before babies a lot. I feel myself, like, getting a little bit too eager where I'm, like, tone it down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, when it starts to become, a preoccupation with me, like, I know that there's something that I need to, like, take a closer look at. Like, I'm either not focusing enough on, like, my writing or my creative projects. Because when I'm doing that, then I'm like, yeah, like, meeting a guy would be great. That would be awesome. But, like, I'm not, like, the way that I sometimes feel where I have this, like, kind of hyper energy of like, well, maybe I should go out tonight because then maybe I'll meet somebody and maybe blah 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 blah, and like all the, like I can't, oh my god.
Well, when you think like that, I mean it's like a repellent.
It is
to the universe, yeah. I swear. Like, but if you're doing your own thing and you go out and I mean,
because you're
it's gonna happen,
yeah, and you're focusing on the lack then, and that's what I've noticed where it's like when I have that mindset of like, well, I want to go out and meet somebody and like go on dates, like the reason why I'm so hyper to do that is because I'm focusing on the fact that I don't have that in my life. Like I want to get laid because I'm not getting laid. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
But instead, if I'm just like, no, like life was awesome and I'm going to go to this cool thing and like see this and that's it, then I'm like focusing on all the really good things in my life and
well,
then
yeah.
You attract more of that.
Well, and especially when it's, I feel like, you know, shared interests and doing things that, you know, someone with like-minded interests,
yeah.
You know, is really incredible. But I know I do a joke about that sometimes when I do comedy, you know, like the fleeting occasional moment that I do comedy right now. But like, it's like, why, you know, go out and find people with similar interests when Netflix is a thing? You know, it's like internet dating is just, I'm not going to say it's ruined things, but it's, you know, you chit-chat back and forth and chit-chat and you feel like you're having a connection, but you've already made assumptions and got into things way before you've even met them. And then you meet them and it's kind of hard because then some people will be like, nope.
Yeah. And you value them on like circumstantial stuff.
Yeah.
Like they said that their best their most favorite band was a band that you like. They could like absolutely love a band that you hate. Like,
and that's more of a deal breaker.
See, I...
Loving a band that I hate.
I won't do with online dating anymore, where I'm just like, I feel like I spent so much of my time like wanting to be matchers and feeling like, well, we have to match on these things in order for like me to be interested in you. And now I kind of feel like I'm the total opposite, where I'm like, I just want to know that like you have good character, that you don't steal, that you don't like do shitty things to other people, and that like you're an okay guy to be around and you're fun and good to the people around you.
Well, yeah.
And please be hot. And please be somebody that I want to do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, I know it's like something that was a little bit trivial now, you know, back in the day when we were younger and dating, like, oh, it likes this and this and this. It's like, well, like those are kind of trivial things to like that doesn't necessarily say about a person, like who they are. Like, yes. I will look past a person loving country music.
Yeah.
Well, frankly, because that's like my secret shame. But
I did get a message from somebody. Who was playing country music?
What? Oh, that was me.
I kind of want to play it for everybody.
You should. It's the best thing ever. If I can find
it. No, and I need to retract a previous statement. Like, you don't need to be hot. I just need to be attracted to you. Like, I feel like when I say you need to be hot, people are like thinking that I'm talking about like GQ frat boy hot. I don't.
I used to give think a shit that about that. Steve Buscemi was hot. All right. Have you seen him?
See, like, yeah, like I'm
swagger, personality.
The celebrities that I'm super into are very informative of, like, the guys that I like. Like, Christopher Walken. Yes. Yes, 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 and yes. And then more yes.
Jason Segel.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
In my heart of hearts, we are meant to be together.
Me too.
Shit, we're going to have to... We've had this conversation before. This is deja vu. I don't share. Unless it's the first time and I'm drunk.
No, like, he's just, like, so much my favorite.
He's just...
Yeah.
What if he's a dick?
He's apparently he's not though. I have a couple of friends who apparently know him and yeah, I don't know. And they're not close enough friends where I can be like, hey, excuse me, you need to introduce me, but I've tried.
You're like, hook me up, lady from Bravo. Is that show even on?
Huh?
Is that Matchmaker show even on anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. I think it's in the off season. Mm. All right, I'm gonna play the recording.
All right.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I should just save it for the back of the podcast, but I'm not gonna play.
Get ready, Amber. In like a week, you're gonna have to deal with this all the time. You ready?
I love it when you end it with the laugh.
You're fucked.
Yeah, I didn't know that you could even send messages like that until I got that. And I'm like, I'm going to do that all the time.
That comes from that time we were at the Herkimer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I just kept singing that every time you said that your wish for me. And then you're like, shut up, Paulson. Paulson. You need to drive my car.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That was real bad. Like, hey guys, day drinking in the middle of the day. It's more embarrassing to get a DWI in day broad daylight. Mm-hmm. I haven't. I haven't, by the way.
I'm glad.
Zero. Nighttime or daytime DUIs.
Yeah, that was quite the afternoon.
Oh my God.
That was hilarious.
I was like, I gotta leave work early and pick my friend up at the airport.
And then we're gonna go drink. So we're gonna get see you later.
Hella wasted.
It was the perfect day to do it though. It was so gorgeous nice. Autumn day. I was gonna be leaving soon.
It was real nice.
So it was the perfect day to sit out on a patio and drink a beer.
God, patios are the best.
Patios are the best. So anyways.
You gotta go?
No, I do pretty soon, but not right now. No, I don't know. What else is pop culture? I just want to talk in this voice all day. What else are you loving, Jennifer? What else are you really, really
You know
loving?
What I'm really into that's really surprising to me?
What?
Facebook.
Shut up. Click.
or the kids are doing it, Twitter.
Ugh. Is that what the kids are doing?
Dude, Tinder Minute.
Tinder Minute?
Are we going to do the Tinder Minute?
Oh, Tinder Minute. Go get your phone. So Jennifer came up with this. While Jennifer is running downstairs to get her phone, Jennifer came up with this amazing idea for our podcast where we do a Tinder Minute and we flip through gentlemen on Tinder and then talk about it. And I brought up the point that, like, it's a visual thing. Some people who are listening may not, like, enjoy it or they may not like it. And if you don't, you can write us a comment and let us know. But we're just going to try it because this is what this podcast is all about, is trying new things with friends and enjoying different mediums of culture.
All right. Are we going to do them together like we did last time or just separately?
Well, I kind of feel like if we're doing a Tinder Minute, we should probably just do it together.
I was thinking originally that we'd do 30 seconds.
Okay.
Each of ours.
Jennifer, I'm down for whatever you want to do. Why don't you go first, and then I'll take the next 30.
Just ran up the stairs. I need to get in better shape.
Dude, I went walking around Lake of the Isles with my friend Larkin yesterday, and this always happens to me. Like, when I want to go for a walk, like, I want to go for a stroll. I want to just, you know, meander leisurely along. Yeah, but at one point, and it was probably my fault because sometimes I pick up the pace, but at one point I looked at her like, can we like slow down? I'm out of breath.
Well,
because there's a like little hill that you climb up and then like you go down the hill or whatever. And
guys walk faster than us.
He has very long legs. And like at certain points he was ahead of me with walking. And like, but I do the passive aggressive thing where like I'll slow down to try to make him slow down. I had a friend, Malmberg, who would, like, walk, like, he was speed walking. And I'd be like, dude, we're walking.
I was
walking
married to a
lake.
Guy like that. He'd be, like, a block ahead of me. I'd be like, what the fuck? Seriously? Okay, not a block ahead of me when we were married, but when we were dating. I don't.
All right, are you ready? I'm going to time you.
Okay.
On your mark?
Yes.
Get set?
Okay.
Go!
All right. I just noped a guy because of his face. I also don't like when people format their pictures wrong or if they're taking them in bed.
Or in front of the mirror in the bathroom. Yep. Stop fucking doing that.
So there's just a bunch of dudes. Like, are there three of you? Am I going to go out with three of you? Just one? I don't like any of those three guys.
You know, when guys do group pictures with their friends, it's always the least attractive guy.
I know.
Because if you're the most attractive, you want them to know. You want to be like, dude, it's me. But yeah.
You know what makes you less attractive? Having your camera in a picture.
Yeah.
Your phone in a picture.
Your phone. The selfie phone.
Pulls up with this fish shit. It's like a running joke, too.
No, guys love that. Like, because they're going to go on fish trips with their friends. And sometimes that's the only time that they'll get pictures taken of themselves is when they're holding up their fish. And I'm like, I used to have a huge attitude about that. I used to hate it. And now I'm just like, it's another one of those things where it's like, I can let it go.
I found a guy that's standing in front of a whiteboard and I'm very fascinated.
Can I see it? Oh.
You know what though? Guess what? In town for a week. Don't fucking care.
It shows that it's a working man. Dude. Oh my God. Like, I feel like I try really hard to give off a vibe of like, I'm not going to have sex with you over the weekend. And I used to get like messages like that all the time from guys who would come up north and they'd be like, what's up? I want to fuck. And I'd be like, nope.
Gross.
Like, who would be like, oh, really? Oh, great. Like, where do you want to meet? When can we do this?
People who like to have sex with people that they don't ever want to see again. That's who.
Craigslist then.
Yeah.
Get off my Tinder. Although there are a lot of people who are like, no hookups, please. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I should do that.
Maybe.
I also decided this guy's cute. He has a mustache. Look at this huge, hairy mustache.
Gross.
Like,
no.
That's like a gross. But wait. So then that one's, I'm like, I don't know. But kind of cute.
Where he's trying to chew on some bitch's hair.
And then you can kind of tell that there's like some cuteness there. And he looks like he's funny. But again, I don't know. He looks cute in that one.
Yeah, but you can't even see his whole face. What does that say?
That
I don't like when people use inanimate objects as their first picture.
I always click nope. if it, there's not a picture of your face on the first try, like, I'm not doing it. Because then you're hiding something.
Yeah, and then all the other guy picture is this with him and a fish.
Ooh, this guy's cute. I am so into guys with, like, tons of tats. And I'm, like, and it bugs it. It doesn't bug me, but it's one of those things where it's, like, I'm so attracted to guys with, like, tons of tattoos and, like, kind of, like, that, like, edgy guy. And, like, but I also kind of, it makes me sad inside because I'm, like, I'm not the girl that they would be attracted to. Because, like, I don't have any tattoos. I kind of look like I'm from suburbia. You know what I mean? And then I feel, like, all sad because I'm just, like, but you are the kind of guy that I love.
I know.
But you don't love me.
I know. I went on an OkCupid date with this guy that I just thought was, oh, yeah, he's pretty cute.
He's real cute.
I have a hard time, like, if a guy's 28.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed and sad. Especially if they're 28 and they look older than me.
I don't know.
So I'm, like, 35.
Yeah.
29 is okay. 30 is okay. But for some reason, 29 can just... This guy's holding a glass of wine next to a men's room. What the fuck, man? Where are you?
This guy looks like two different people. Like, look at this. And now look at that.
Oh.
It looks like total badass tattoo. And then, like, prepster North Face.
The North Face throws me off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm still going to like him because he's really cute.
Do you have pictures of yourself on Tinder with other people?
Yes. My very first photo is a picture of me and my friend Lacey because it's one of the pictures that I like most about myself.
Okay.
But then all of my other pictures, well, no, because I have pictures with my brother. And I guess I have one with Erica.
Will you do me a favor?
Remember what I said about other people on the picture?
Judge my pictures for me. Judge my pictures. Tell me if I should.
All right, if
they're good.
I'll do my pictures for you.
Sure.
Okay. All right. I like the first one. You take really cute pictures of yourself, though.
I'm the best photographer of me.
Oh, my God. You're so cute. You, birdie. I love these pictures.
Okay.
And you got a full body pic.
Yeah, nice. Make sure to put it in there.
These
are great. These are
freaking adorable.
You're being attacked by a sloth dinosaur.
I know, it's crazy.
I like it. This is like my favorite picture of you with the shades.
Thanks.
I love that picture.
Thank you.
I remember when you lived there.
I remember when I lived there too, off of Lindale. Harriet.
You should tell people that you're the person in the background of that first picture.
I love her. Like, she's so pissed that we're taking a picture. She's just like, woo.
I love that, like,
interrupting my pizza fries.
To me, I feel like the most realistic photo of me is the photo where I think I just look like a slob. But I feel like I have to be like, well, I'm a slob sometimes, and you just have to deal because I have inside, I'm very beautiful.
You are very beautiful.
Sometimes.
I feel like my pictures make me look a little bit thinner than I am right now, which makes me worry a little bit. Yeah.
I think that you should find the picture of yourself at your heaviest and put it on there and be like, fuck you.
Go fuck yourselves.
I don't know.
No, it was a hard summer.
People are going to like you if they like you.
See, yeah. And I finally just, okay, so last summer, was it last? No, okay. This summer is this summer. And then last summer, I just kind of went through that thing of like, I'm going to try to love my body no matter what. And I feel like I finally, like, it happened, like, this fall. Oh, like, after this past summer where I'm just like, you know what? I'm done, like, giving a shit. Like, maybe it was, like, partly exhaustion, too, where I'm just like, I'm tired of, like, caring and worrying and, like, obsessing about this stuff. Like, obviously, like, I have my health issues, which, like, in a weird roundabout way, like, created more of, like, I actually care about my body and how it feels instead of just like, it does it look the way that I want it to look?
Yeah.
But I just remember like having a night, I was out with my friend Lacey and just like, I just kind of came to the realization where I was just like, you know what? Fuck that shit. Like if a guy doesn't like me because I'm a certain weight, then he doesn't need to like me. And like, if I really like myself, which I do right now, like I like how I look, I like how I am, I like what I'm doing with my life, then that's fine. And like, it comes back to like, that Sawyer Brown song is what I always think about where like the song is some girls don't like boys like me, but some girls do. And I just think about that where I'm or yeah, some boy.
Oh my God.
Whatever. I just some totally girls messed it do. Up.
Let's see. Well, I ain't first class, but I ain't white trash. I'm wild. I'm a little crazy too. some girls don't like boys like me. Oh, but some girls do.
But yeah, so I think about that where I'm like, there are guys out there. Like, I dated one.
I'm so sorry.
No, but I dated one last summer who was like one of the most like smoking hot guys I've ever seen in my life. And like completely like loved me exactly at the weight that I was. Like could not get enough of me. You know what I mean? And like I have a guy friend who I absolutely adore and is like my epitome of like the perfect male. And he loves chicks that are like a little bit more bodacious. And I just am like, I feel like I've been holding on to this image of myself of how I should be for all of my adult life. Where like, I keep telling myself, well, like I should be slender and lithe and like, you know, have this like certain body type. And I think I finally just realized where I'm like, that may not ever be me. And the only times I've ever been close to it is when I've been like extremely unhealthy and like bordering on eating disorder. And I just kind of was just like, no, like I have big boobs and my body like settles in at a weight where like I'm just a little bit more like softer. And like I need to just be like, okay, like that's what's that. And just look for the guys who like appreciate that and want that and like... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even like the kind of thing where you have to like, basically, once you find like an inner piece, like if you like somebody and they're like, you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
You're just like, whatever. Like, yeah. It just becomes nothing.
Yeah. And like last night when I went out, it was one of those things where it's just like, I've spent so much of my life like trying to cover up my boobs because for me, like huge boobs has always translated into me like feeling fat. And so, like, I feel like I've spent so much of my life, like, fighting it. And that was another thing where, like, I finally was just like, you know what? I've got huge freaking bazongas, okay? They're never going to go away unless I have a reduction. So I might as well just, like, make the most out of them and start, like, dressing in a way where it's just, like, they're fun, you know? And I feel like last night I went out and there was this guy on Tinder that I had been talking to that was going to be there. And there was a little bit of nervousness of, like, I know he's going to see me and we're going to talk and I'm like a little bit, you're always kind of afraid of like what their reaction to you is going to be. And he was totally nice and totally great. And he came up to me after the show and like, it was fine, but it was more important, I think, for me to like, just go out and like feel confident about how I looked and who I was, whether or not like he wanted, you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like it translated into something. Like, I felt like I got more, like, appreciative attention last night than I have in a long time. Just because I just felt like I was just like, no, like, I'm here. This is who I am. This is how it is. And, like, I hope you like it. But if you don't, like, fine.
That's cool, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's the way to be.
So the boobs are going to come out to play more.
Nice. I know. I have the same. I mean, I feel the exact same way you do about my boobs.
Yeah.
And not necessarily in like a weight sort of thing, but I've just never been comfortable with them.
Yes.
And I feel like we're trained, especially when we're younger, that if a girl, like, I don't know, not really, but if a girl's got her tits out, it's like, especially if they're big.
Right.
Like, for some reason, it's okay if you have cleavage if you don't have giant boobs.
Yes.
You know, if you've just got regular boobs, if you got the B or C cups, whatever, no big deal. Like,
right. Otherwise, like, I feel like I've just always felt like they feel obscene. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I know. Yeah. That's how I feel about mine because they are kind of obscene.
Yeah.
That's how big they are.
I mean.
But I don't want to lose them either.
I know. See, like, I appreciate them when I'm in a relationship with somebody. Like, then I'm like, fuck yes. Like, these are great. But I feel like at any other times. And I think a lot of it, and I think a lot of other women have the same experience too, is that like I wasn't the first bloomer in my grade, but I wasn't very far behind. And I think that when you hit puberty at a certain age, you are so not comfortable with like the male gaze and the kind of like reactions that you get from there.
Yeah.
And like I spent years like dressing like a boy because I just didn't want people to pay attention to my body and especially like my boobs. I didn't want that kind of like uncomfortable attention.
Yeah.
And like now, like my friend Katie and I have this conversation all the time where like I think she just like had a totally opposite like origin story where like she wants the cleavage. She wants like she she like, it's different. Like, I just feel like there's women who are like, no, like, I want men to like appreciate my figure and like look at me and whatever. And like, for me, like, I still kind of battle with that where I'm just like, I feel like when my boobs are out and people are looking, I feel like in a way, like, I'm inviting attention that I'm probably not going to want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even though I know I can handle myself.
Well, and you know that it's not just that either. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a thing that you've put into your brain with like the culture.
Yeah.
And how things like that work, that it's not that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. And like, yeah. And then there's the whole thing of like feeling like,
it's like, look at me, don't look at me.
Or like, these, like being in high school and feeling like a guy's using you for your boobs. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when that happens to you one time, like, you never kind of get over it. Like, you just don't want to feel like you're being used for, like, this thing.
Yeah.
You really, like, you have, like, I grew these myself, but I have, like, I can't take credit for them. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
yeah, exactly.
They're not, yeah. They're not going to hold a conversation with you over dinner after a couple of dates.
Not yet, at least.
No. No.
Maybe when science has evolved. Be like, if you care so much about my tits, here, have a conversation with them. Guess what? They're not smart.
They're not smart at all. Contrary like, to what you think, my brain is not in them.
They're like, yeah, and then the other day I was in this trap that I'm always in that she never washes.
I don't even know what you just said.
I'm talking about like if your boobs talked. Yeah. And your boobs would be like, yeah, and she keeps me in this trap.
Yeah, that she never watches, yeah. Yeah,
and she sleeps terribly, gets suffocated.
Okay, here's the quandary, and we are going to go over, and I'm probably going to be late for this coffee date, but I don't give a shit. But here's the quandary that I want to discuss with you. So I come through this dilemma all the time, and I'm like, okay, like, especially in California. Like, I have a friend who, like, lives in Newport Beach, and, like, she posts pictures, and I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, everybody there has fake boobs, and they're huge, right? And I think about that when I go to, like, Victoria's Secret or another, like, lingerie store, and I'm like, where are these women getting their bras? Because Victoria's Secret does not fucking carry double D bras in their store, which pisses me off because I'm like, the whole, like,
they don't?
No. Every single, like, photo and advertisement that's up there is a woman with like double D's or like is made to look like double D's. And then you go and try to find them. If they have them, it's a very small selection or they're like, we don't carry that size. And that drives me absolutely fucking
And
up
all the
wall.
Really good bras are so expensive.
They are really expensive. And
they're,
like,
they're worth it.
It's though. Hard to find supportive ones that actually look cute and don't look like your mom's training bra.
Ugh.
Did
your mom just get you a training bra and basically throw it at you and make you go try it on? Or did you go to the store?
No. Well, I mean, like, your mom's nursing bra is what I'm talking about.
No, I was just curious because I remember, like, when I got my first bra, I swear to God, my mom was just like, here, put this on. Like, okay. Wearing this now.
I tried to convince my mom that I needed it way before I needed one.
Okay.
Because I wanted to, like, feel grown up. And then I look back on that. I'm like, was that the thing that triggered my boobs becoming obscene? Where it was like, God was like, here, fine. You want this? You're going to have it.
Here you go, sucker.
I don't know. Like, I think I always kind of grew up knowing that I would have big boobs. Like, I remember even from a young age just being like, yep, I'm going to have those when I grow up. That'll be fun.
You just knew it was your fate.
I just.
It was your destiny.
Yeah.
Show them off. Show off your destiny.
My mom has a great figure, but hers are nowhere near as like obscene as mine are, which like pisses me off. And she also has an amazing metabolism, which I did not inherit. BT dubs. And she even said it was.
Oh my God. Moms.
I was like, Mom, I don't really think I inherited your metabolism. She's like, no, I don't think so either.
Oh. I was like, at least she's on. I mean,
buy me another Jane Fonda workout for my birthday. Like, you did in sixth grade and let's call it good.
Oh my God. I have a friend that was like in the, I don't know if it was like the fifth or sixth grade. Her mom like put her on Weight Watchers.
Yeah. I mean,
I guess there's nothing, I don't know. It's like, I don't want to get into that. My mom didn't give me any body issues whatsoever, which I'm fucking forever grateful for. Like, as much as I give my mom a hard time for kind of being like, I don't really care. Like, you know, not really totally checked out because obviously she cares, but
right.
She's not going to hound you about anything, that you know?
Nice. Yeah.
But it also didn't teach me to push myself to do anything.
Right.
But maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe that is a good thing. I grew up with a lot of, I feel like, negative feedback about my body and how it should look and what it means if it doesn't look that way. And I went to therapy quite a bit and I've worked through most of those things. I mean, there's always going to be like my father is no longer allowed to talk about health or fitness to me whatsoever. Like, okay. It's not even like anytime I won't even bring it up around him really because I just don't want, you know. And then there was like one time this summer where like I mentioned that I was doing the couch to 5K or whatever. I was going to start that. And like he started to say something. I was like, Dad, stop. Because it is that thing where like it's a painful part of our relationship. And I know that now that I'm an adult and I have emotional maturity that like most of it came out of love and his own issues. And I have made peace with that. But like as an adult, I still just like I don't. And that's from everybody too. Like I don't want your advice on how I should eat or how I should work out. Like I don't. Go fuck yourself. Like,
I will ask if I want it.
Yeah. And like that unsolicited advice, like I've talked about it many times on my blog, like nothing will make me stop being friends with you faster than if you try to be like, you know what you should do? You should try this or like, you know, to work out, blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, it always comes off as condescending. It's never like helpful. It never makes that person feel good. So just don't do it.
Yeah, I know. I've had situations that are similar to that. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of on top of it. I don't need to hear.
Yeah. Like I've got this. And like, yeah. Even if I don't have this, like, then I know where to go if I need your advice.
Well, can't you just sort of gauge from someone, like if you know them well enough that they don't want you to continue to talk about that? Because I do.
Right. But I think there's people who are like so insistent on sharing it with you because it's not about you. It's not about whether you want to hear it. It's about whether they want to like... feel like they have something to give. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's just like, no, listen, here's how it really is. Yeah. Like when I had to do this candida protocol and when I was diagnosed with it, like, you know, I knew there was going to be people who are going to be not apprehensive, but disbelieving or like questioning about it or like not suspicious. What I'm looking for a word for that word where like,
keep explaining the feelings.
Okay, so like when you're kind of we'll play catchphrase. When you're suspicious of something, you don't like automatically buy into it and you're a little apprehensive to like believe it.
Cautious? Right off
the bat. Kind of cautious, but it's more of just like
it's coming to me.
Yep.
It's not apprehensive either.
Yeah, it's skeptical. Yes. Skeptics.
Hey. Yay!
We won the round.
Please add clapping.
I knew there was going to be skeptics because, like, it's kind of a new thing, but it's also kind of a common thing. And, like, with all the backlash against, like, gluten-free and that stuff. But, I mean, it was also something that, like, I had to make a choice when I wrote about it on the blog whether or not I wanted to invite that into my life.
Well, yeah.
But I also know that, like, I got into a conversation with somebody on Twitter that I like and respect. And I think, you know, his opinions are totally valid. But every once in a while, like, he'd be like... no, I don't think blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't know what I'm talking about. And I'd be like, well, according to my doctor, and I think that's what helped too, is the fact that like, my doctor is a great fucking doctor and she knows what the shit she's talking about. And like, she knows that like, there's no way that I would be able to participate in something like this unless it was like a valid health issue. Like, I don't want to get fucking lupus.
You're skeptical enough.
I have to do this stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't want to fucking like not eat anything except for vegetables and lean meat. Like, who the fuck wants to do that?
You know, take it like a couple days a week, but give me pizza like the other fucking five every meal.
I would love that so much. I miss the days when I could do like the 4-hour body or whatever thing where you eat really well all week, but then you get two cheat days or one cheat day. Because goddamn, those cheat days were amazing. And it works right into like my binge food issues too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. We should one day, as you know, friends and roommates, make one like that cauliflower pizza crust.
Yeah, we should. That'd be good.
So I would love to cook. I love cooking.
Yeah.
But I don't. When I'm lazy, Yeah. Or if I'm going through something or I don't feel whatever,
yeah,
all I want to do is go straight to my television in my kick-ass basement. I know. Basement.
It's a comfort thing. It's a soothing thing. Dude, we are going to have to wrap up, though, because I'm so late.
Wrap it up.
Going to be mad at me.
I haven't been holding this up. I'm going to talk more about this at a
later time, though, because I think it's issues that I think are interesting.
I am thinking that Pizza Rainbow is developing into some really interesting girl talk.
I think so, too.
And I think that'd be a really, really good thing for a...
For girls and for boys.
Yeah, then they can see an insight into how crazy we are, but the good crazy.
the dateable crazy.
Not the bad crazy.
The dateable crazy that you want to sleep with. Hint. Just
kidding. I am over keying guys' cars.
I've never keyed a guy's car.
I just want you to know that I'm done with that.
I just talk about him on my blog.
I'm done with stalking. Just because a few people got restraining orders? I don't know what that's about. none of that's just being funny.
That was upsetting. Yeah, no. I like our framework so far. I was talking about
and
it with
we can
them.
Catch up.
We can catch up on all the stuff. Because we talked about it the last time too, and then I talked about it with another friend where I'm like, the frame is lurking, and I talked to Lurkin about everything. But the frame was, like, the frame is pop culture, where, like, we kind of, like, use that as a jumping off point, but, like, the content is more of just, like...
Real issues and straight talk.
Yeah. It is. It's real talk. Yeah.
Real talk.
Real teens talking about real issues.
I wish I was still a teen.
Me too. Not really. At all. No. I wish I was, like, me brain and me independence in, like, a teenage body in a teenage, like, community world.
Because we could be, like, an even better version of Tabby Gevinson.
Copyright trademark. That's our idea. Nobody else can steal it.
Is that called 19 again or 15 again or whatever that Zac Efron movie was?
Yeah, that was based on the that Vice Versa movie, and then the also like
Vice fucking Versa. Switching. We need to watch Vice Versa.
But there's Vice two movies Versa. With that exact same premise. There was Vice
like
Versa.
Like Father Like Son.
Yes.
Was it Kirk Cameron and who was the dad?
I don't.
Alan Thicke.
Yep. Yeah. And then Vice Versa was like
Judge
Paul
Reinhold.
Reiser.
Judge Reinhold.
Oh, I thought it was Paul Reiser.
It was Judge Reinhold and
Paul Reiser.
Who?
Paul Reiser.
Don't. It was Judge Reinhold, and I want to say it was Fred Savage.
Fuck. Okay.
You gotta go.
I gotta go. She's already there. She's
Amber has friends. Everybody have a.
Just Cubis, I apologize in advance, even though you're not gonna listen to this for about a month, but I'm really sorry that I'm really late for our coffee date.
Sorry, Jess. Bye.
All right. Bye, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this second episode of Pizza Rainbow. For more of Jen Paulson, you can follow her over on the Twitter at TigerBeatPoet. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at Amber_L Carter. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast over there. But only if you're going to say nice things about us. You can also find this and other podcasts over at MathIsHard.net. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time.